Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Got a very precarious situation going on in Panguitch, which is not too far from Bryce Canyon, about an hour or so outside of Zion National Park. But that town is on standby to get out, just in case the dam breaks. Reading this morning on Newsweek, they're saying it's a 60-foot crack in the dam, Dave. National Weather Service in Salt Lake has issued a flash flood warning for the town due to this situation that's unfolding. They're like, just in case the dam goes, be aware there's flash floods. And then the sheriff has also posted a map to the town residents saying, this is the map of the evacuation zone, and if we need to evacuate, head east.
What in the world do you do to repair a dam that has a 60-foot crack?
It's 140 years old, and it appears that these cracks, or the crack is forming. They've added on to the dam, so it's in the extension area. They are trying to alleviate the pressure right now by draining part of the lake.
Just empty. Send it downstream.
But that's their reservoir, too.
Exactly. 9:07, it's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
So I saw the alert come over my phone at about 6 o'clock last night. The Garfield County Sheriff's Office putting an emergency alert. They're saying it's a level 2 alert on Facebook. Thankfully, lots of people sharing that post to warn, you know, people who might be heading into that area. It's not too far from Bryce Canyon. And I also spoke to Division of Emergency Management early this morning. They're saying, you know, the dam is old. They've got a public information officer, a good friend of the show, Wade Matthews, heading to that area this morning to help them get word out to the public about what they need to know. So we put him on standby. He's going into a meeting right now. We've put him on standby to call the show with the latest information. Our producers have already been calling down to the area, and we've got an owner of an ATV rental shop telling one of our producers, Alexi, that his shop is in the path of where this thing could go. So if all, fingers crossed, everything holds there in Panguitch, he's calling the show in the 10 o'clock hour to tell us how things look. Here's what authorities are saying about that crack.
We've noticed that there's some transverse cracking across the dam. There's an upper portion of the dam that has sustained some damage from the ice.
One thing that I've learned about myself, I do not know what the life expectancy of a dam is, and how many dams in Utah are in this situation where they built it decades and decades ago and they're starting to wear down?
Countdown to.
We're reporting that Americans are spending like $1,000 a year on subscription costs, and they can be super pesky, especially with that auto renewal. Every single month, or every year. I had it happen this week. I got pinged for $100. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't expect that subscription to renew. And I think canceling them is like trying to hack NSA. So we're going to talk to a Utah lawmaker when we go right on the money in the 10 o'clock hour. He's cracking down on auto renewals and free trials.
I mean, we've all done this. You know, you sign up for a week free trial. You forget to cancel, and then 3 years later, you find out you've been paying for 36 months or something.
You've been there. I've been there. Who hasn't been there? Yes. I am Mr. Subscription, and I got dinged twice in the last month with these things that I had totally forgotten about. One was the $129 for my Major League Baseball subscription.
Yikes.
So I can watch my terrible team. And get this, $83.65 for beard growth vitamin oil. $83.65 a month? How large is this beard expected to grow?
What are you doing to yourself? That sounds so weird.
Hello, Duck Dynasty.
Launch countdown. One.
We've got members of the International Olympic Committee in Utah today, tomorrow, and the next day. They're going to be touring our venue sites that have been left over from the 2002 games. And as I look around, Dave, I look around Salt Lake City, I sense that we haven't seen a lot of dramatic infrastructure changes since 2002. maybe that's like me not realizing I've gained 20 pounds because I'm looking at myself in the mirror every single day and I don't see that growth around my waist. But mostly I think this. I think Salt Lake City, I think Utah has 34, the Winter Olympics in the bag, and this visit is a lot for looks.
It is a lot for looks. But at the same time, you would never buy a home just on pictures, right? You got to walk through the house before you make that purchase. And I think that's ultimately what the IOC is doing.
Dave and Genevic.
The launch.
Commence.
Salt Lake City 2034. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, we understand it's happening right now at Rice-Eccles Stadium. We hope to take you there live in a matter of minutes. Leaders of Utah, Mayor Mendenhall, Mayor Jenny Wilson, also saw on the list Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson meeting with members of the Future Host Committee, kind of presenting our vision, Dave, of a 2034 Games in Utah. But as I said, I think it's in the bag, but I'm sure we're going to put our best face forward.
Yeah, we have to, right? I mean, it is 10 years out, which is both a significant amount of time and also tomorrow. There's an urgency. We have to get this locked up, and we're putting our best foot forward.
Peter Johnston, you've been tracking what these IOC members will be doing over the next couple of days in Utah. What can you tell us?
Debbie, I'm going to give you one guess about where they're going to start.
Rice-Eccles Stadium.
What?
Opening ceremonies.
Right next to the 2002 Olympic Cauldron. Yeah. Where else?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be
doing. They're touring the stadium later today after they get through the speeches and the announcements. But it doesn't look like they're going to be touring the venues until tomorrow.
Yeah. The one venue that they're going to hit up that's not quite a venue is Delta Center. And they're trying to lay out the red carpet. That's what's going on. And so after they have that meeting at Rice-Eccles, they're going to get on a very specially made just for them Trax train that's got a wrap all around it that says ready to move the world again. And then they're going to ride that thing down to Delta Center, and they're going to be talking about some infrastructure changes.
Okay. Well, we know Trax or UTA will be joining us on the show tomorrow to talk about the specifics of what Olympic visitors, once they arrive, and, obviously the athletes as well in Utah, what they can expect. I already think we have this thing in the bag, so I'm just going to talk about it as like it's a done deal. It's just a matter of dotting some I's and crossing some T's. But there's going to be some additions, it sounds like, with transportation. What can you tell us about that, Peter?
I mean, if you look at the infographic that was sent to us, you're looking at the difference between 2002. They have a side-by-side, 2002 and 2030. And 2002, you see this kind of little blue line moving through Salt Lake City. That's what Trax used to be. It wasn't that big at all. And then 2030, the plan is to have a line that goes all the way from Snow Basin to Provo. And it's just a big, long line on this map. Okay. And so I'd say that that's the biggest infrastructure change that they're going to be advertising there.
Wow.
As long as we don't have another luge situation where I-15 turned into this massive, massive expansion, and it was a nightmare. It's been good. It was necessary, but it was a miserable experience for a number of years.
Peter, thank you so much. Thanks for helping us keep an eye on this. I know they're going to be in this. It looks like the Park City area on Thursday, Soldier Hollow on Thursday. So Summit County, get ready. And then Snow Basin. Isn't that your favorite spot, Dave?
That's my spot.
That's your favorite ski spot. Snow Basin up in Huntsville on Friday. And then the Olympic Oval, they're going to turn right back around, make a U-turn, come to the Kearns area. And so Kearns on high alert for their tour on Friday. So all wrapping up with a news conference on Saturday, probably before they head out of town. We expect an official decision as to whether Utah will get the Olympic Games. Actually, let's talk about that right after the break.
David.
Members of the International Olympic Committee in town starting this morning. Big kickoff at Rice-Eccles Stadium for their several-day tour of Utah and the venues. Dave, they're at the spot where it all began back in 2002.
Street and Granato met by Mike Aruzioni from the Miracle on Ice hockey team of 1980 that won the gold medal. Along the way, had the incredible upset of the Soviet Union.
That was such a moment.
Such an incredible moment. And just the perfect culmination of the torch run to light the cauldron, the 1980s hockey team. It was so incredible on so many levels. And I think it set a very high expectation of how that games would go. You don't bust out the 1980 all-time greatest Olympic gold in history unless you're ready to do something special, and that's exactly what we did here. We had an incredibly successful Games.
Now, we know that the Olympic Committee, or members of the Olympic Committee, they're members of the Future Host Committee and others in town meeting with our elected officials, Salt Lake County Mayor Jenny Wilson, Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall. We saw that on the governor's schedule that this was slated for this morning on his schedule. I didn't see him on the list of the agenda for today, but we're trying to get a live feed right now out of Rice-Eccles State. Stadium, and as soon as we do, we're going to take you there live as they kick off this several-day tour of Utah. It'll happen today, tomorrow, through. It sounds like they're wrapping things up on Saturday. But when I look at their visit here, I do feel like it is largely, I want to say, ceremonial, maybe more for looks, because as I look along the skyline across Salt Lake City and beyond, at least for me, it doesn't seem like a lot has changed infrastructure-wise, particularly with buildings and that. And we have the venues. And that, I think that right there is the carrot that will capture them, is the venues were already in place. I know there's a lot more sporting events at these Olympic Games than in 02. We're going to talk to a former Olympian, Trace Worthington, in just a moment about that. But what are your thoughts on that, Dave? That, you know, there hasn't been a lot of changes. Again, as I said earlier in the show, that may be me looking in the mirror every day and not realizing I gained 20 pounds around the waist because I'm looking at myself every day.
For sure. I think we've taken for granted a lot of the apartment buildings and skyscrapers that are going up and hotels that have expanded. We've exploded just in the last decade. We're the fastest growing state in the nation. So I think you're right. I think we've looked at ourselves in the mirror for so long, we've haven't realized we've aged and maybe we've gotten a few wrinkles here or there. So we've grown enormously. But the key here, I think, in what they're visiting is the venues. It's one thing to send people pictures and say, oh, look how beautiful they look. But just like if you're buying a home, you'd never buy a home just looking at pictures. You've got to do a walkthrough before you make that purchase. What they're going to find is that we have done not just a good job, a phenomenal job with these old venues. These are 20 years old. We have poured millions and millions of dollars into their upkeep, into their improvement, adding layers to it. It's involved the community. I remember going up to the bobsled track and riding with an Olympic gold medalist. That was available. That's how you've involved the community. You can buy a ride down a bobsled track. That kind of continued legacy has garnered support, money, everything you need to really lead up to this moment right here where we say, okay, we're ready for another one.
Well, one area I do want to take a step back and take a wider view of is certainly we have improved our transportation options since 02. Now, we went through the freeway expansion leading up to 02, which was absolutely miserable when they expanded I-15, but it made things easier during the Olympics. We already had tracks in place, but I did look at a side-by-side photo or graphic of what tracks look like or transportation, thanks to UTA, look like in 02 compared to what it looks like going forward. And we've added, it looks like there's a lot more veins in the leg. Like there, you know, there's tracks lines in many more places than there were back in 02. You think about Front Runner, which you've enjoyed taking over the years as well. That's now an option, which moves lots of people really quickly. And then also our freeways. We have more arteries into and out of the city. I think of the West Side. Perhaps the Kearns Oval can be helped by what's now the Mountain View Corridor. And as they continue to make a Bangor, what do we call that thing now, an expressway with stoplights at every other intersection. It's just horrible if you want to go anywhere fast. But UDOT has been working very vigilantly to make that a full-on freeway. So that'll certainly help as well. And then some up in Davis County, too, which you know a lot about because that's your commute.
Yeah, Legacy, West Davis Corridor, those are huge game changers. And what Front Runner has done, which essentially connects Ogden down to Provo even further, is we do have venues from Utah County to Morgan. So we go up and down the Wasatch Front, and having Front Runner allows for you to stay everywhere. You've opened up where visitors can stay to not just downtown Salt Lake. You can easily stay in Syracuse. You can stay down in Saratoga Springs. There are lots of areas, and then you can just jump on Front Runner, go up and down the Wasatch Front. There's going to be obviously a huge enhanced bus system during the Olympics. So we're not going to have everybody driving cars because public transit is completely different. It has revolutionized the way we travel for the Olympics.
Do you really feel strongly that the IOC members are going to get something out of this visit? More so than I do. I don't know that they're going to get any gee whiz moments out of it. I mean, I feel like the 2034 yeah. games are ours to lose. And by the way, we are supposed to know more, like officially, if we're going to get the games this summer. So fingers crossed we get the final nod.
July 24th?
I do. Yeah, I think it might be very appropriate day.
We're throwing a parade for everybody. Everybody gets a parade.
But you seem pretty, you think this visit's probably a lot more important than I feel like it is.
You're probably right in the end result. I think what's going to shock these members of the IOC is the quality and the standard of our venues. Because what usually happens when a nation hosts the Olympics is they build, and then all of these venues that hosted millions of people just fall into disrepair almost overnight. The fact that they'll be able to go to our venues and see pristine, beautiful, updated venues is going to shock them. Because nobody else does this. Nobody else reinvests or had the money. We had tens of millions of dollars set aside in a trust from all the money we made in the Olympics because it was run so affordably. And that money was set aside to preserve these venues. That is going to blow their socks off.
Let's get Trace Worthington, former Olympian, on the line next. He's calling the show. We'll ask him what he thinks about our venues because he now travels the world. He covers different ski sports events with NBC. So he is very familiar with the different venues all over the world. Trace calling the show in about 4 minutes.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories. On KSL News Radio, Salt Lake City 2034. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
It does feel like we've got this in the bag. But we'll know for sure this summer. For now, though, the members of the International Olympic Committee are at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Check out that venue today and also head down to the Delta Center, which is where figure skating was held during the 2002 Winter Games, Dave. But I'm curious to hear from a former Olympian, what he thinks the IOC will be up to and looking for while they're here.
You are trying to jinx us in the worst way.
I am a little bit worried about that.
I mean, it is absolutely the worst thing you can do. Like, oh, this is in the bag. It's a done deal. You're the kind of person that's like, Is that pitcher throwing a no-hitter? That's amazing. That no-hitter in the fifth inning, you are the jinx.
Olympian Trace Worthington, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good. We're excited. How do you think we have it in the bag?
That's pretty funny. I do agree a little bit with Dave, too. You know, you don't want to jinx things. But, yeah, I think we're looking great. Very good shape. And, you know, as all the reports have indicated, I think all the venues are, are in place, I think that the IOC is going to be very impressed today when they have their visit.
Trace is an athlete. There's nobody more superstitious than an athlete. So I appreciate you walking this back just a little bit, Trace. But I do want to talk about the venues. You know, you've been in world-class venues all over the world. Can you give us an idea what the venues are like right now and what quality and what shape are they in?
I mean, the venues that I'm aware of are in incredible shape, and we have a great problem of having multiple areas that can host, right? From alpine racing to freestyle skiing, and so that's the bonus. We're not looking at like one facility that could do it. We have Deer Valley Resort, who hosts international freestyle skiing events, moguls and aerials, for years, and have proven to be the premier stop on the World Cup circuit for moguls and aerials. And not only that, but now we have the Olympic Park, Utah Olympic Park, built out, which now has mogul space. It has alpine training lanes. It has all kinds of stuff up there now too. So I think we're in really good shape in terms of choices. But I can tell you from an athlete's perspective, they love coming here. And the freestyle, some of the snowboarding events at Park City Mountain Resort. It's again, from an athlete perspective, and from the athletes that I speak to when I do commentary for NBC, is amazing. They love it here.
Trace Worthington competed in the Olympics back in the 90s. Obviously, you just heard he's a commentator as well. You've been all over the world. I watch your coverage. I want you to take a step back here and think about this, comparing us to other places. Do we have any warts that we need to be worried about at all?
Have any what?
Warts.
Excuse me?
Like warts. Anything we got to be looking at?
No, warts. That's what I thought you said.
Any negatives?
No, I think, our weather is incredible. So that's the other thing, too. In comparison to other places that I've been to around the world, they're very spread out. And so in terms of weather, there's a variety of weather conditions that roll in. For instance, in 2010 in Vancouver, raining down in the Cypress area and dumping snow up in Whistler. And then, you have a lot of wind. We have very consistent weather and dry snow conditions here in Utah. It is, the reason why we call it the greatest snow on earth, because it is. And, our weather really suits the Olympics well, because we don't risk as many delays as other venues around the world, including China at the last Olympics and even Korea before that. We have very consistent conditions, and I love the proximity of all of the venues. I mean, we're tight, from Deer Valley, Park City, Olympic Park, all the way down to the Delta Center, and then go south a little bit, obviously, to Kearns and the Oval. We're very tight and compact, which is a spectator's dream for the Olympics.
Absolutely. We do expect one of the big changes to be many more competitions. It has just grown so much over the years. There is an estimation about 40% more competitions in 2034 than there was back in 2002. What are some of the new competitions out there that we may have not realized that are exciting?
The one that I'm excited about is mountaineering. which is great. I don't know the exact rules of mountaineering, but ski mountaineering is going to be a new event that I think will cater Utahns well. We have a lot of people who do that and participate in Utah, and so we're looking at medal hopes in that particular discipline. But I'm sure some new stuff will pop up once we, again, crossing fingers that we get the bid for 2034, then there will be some new events, I'm sure, that will be introduced based on what we, Salt Lake City 2034, would like to have or accept as new sports.
Mountaineering sounds amazing. I love all these new competitions.
Yeah, thanks, Trace. Always fun to have you on the show. Appreciate you taking time out to talk to us and give us your insight from your expertise, not only being an Olympian, but also traveling to cover the games as well. We just got this in. Fraser Bullock, he's the CEO of Salt Lake City's bid for the 2034 games, just kicking off that event. Just moments ago, it sounds like, with the International Olympic Committee, at Rice-Eccles Stadium, Dave. So things are underway up there. It's a few, it sounds like, I don't know exactly how large the contingent is. I do know who was on the agenda for this morning from the IOC. It's several members of the IOC. Looks like future host commission chair and the future, you know, other members of the future host commission. Obviously, that is the committee that is assigned to check out what the future hosts have been up to and what their promises are for the upcoming games. They'll be traveling across the state, you know, to Snow Basin, over to the Kearns Oval. Looks like they're heading up to the Park City area tomorrow. So they will stay busy over the next several days. They're here till Saturday.
And they do have to look to the future as well, because as good as things are right now, as well as we have done with the venues, there are still question marks out there. And for example, mountaineering, these things that have been announced, you have to show them, okay, you don't see it now. We don't have everything built, but this is what we could turn this place into. And that's an important step in this.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories. On KSL News Radio, Salt Lake City 2034. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Members of the International Olympic Committee in town checking out the venues that have been kept up since 2002. They'll be down at the Delta Center later this afternoon, taking a tracks train from Rice-Eccles Stadium. So, of course, we wanted to get Fraser Bullock on the line. He's the CEO of Salt Lake City, Utah 2034. Dave has been with the International Olympic Committee members this morning.
And this is major. This is huge. We do expect this to happen, that we're going to get the bid. We're trying not to jinx it a little bit, Fraser. We're trying not to, but boy, things seem to be lining up so well.
Yes, they are. Our guests are here. We're at Rice-Eccles Stadium right now. We've just done 3 hours of presentations, and I would say the enthusiasm is bilateral. We love the Olympic movement. They love Utah, and we're on a very good track right now.
What do you expect they will take away from this visit? It's several days. In fact, I think they wrap up on Saturday.
Yes, we go all the way till Saturday afternoon. And I think there would be a couple of things that are already shining through. Number one is the enthusiasm and unity that they're feeling from Utah. They commented on that this morning and how they can see and feel that unity. The second thing that they'll see is that all of our venues are ready, and they are spectacular. And the setting of the beautiful mountains, the valley here will just, I believe, will just absolutely blow them away.
Maybe you can speak to the venues a little bit more in depth about the investment we have made, because it has been millions of dollars to maintain and even improve these venues.
Yes. And first and foremost, these venues are community centers, community recreation centers, where we have thousands and thousands of kids recreate every day. So first and foremost, they're for our kids and for some of us who still participate in sport. But then the nice benefit is then they can also be utilized for the games. And so there are investments up until 2018. It was all funded by the endowment that we left behind from 2002. But since then, there have been the state has allocated some money to be able to maintain the venues, both for our community and for the games.
Fraser Bullock is the president. He's the CEO as well of Salt Lake City, Utah 2034. It's our bid to bring the games, the Winter Olympics, back to Utah in the year 2034. And just remind us, when will we officially know that we have the games? Because right now we're still in this sort of window where we're showing off Utah, but we don't have an official announcement, right, from the IOC?
Well, if you could pick one day out of the year to have that happen, it is July 24th.
It's crazy.
When we celebrate our heritage. So while Utah is asleep about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we'll be in Paris presenting on July 24th to the entire International Olympic Committee. And then if things go well, they'll take a vote. They'll vote Utah in for 2034 and we'll sign the contract right there. So when you awaken to the great celebration, Pioneer Day, we can really expand that party and make it even bigger.
Incredible.
I can't wait to see the parade. There's going to be so many Olympic themed. It's going to be incredible. Hey, is there, as we look back to the Olympics 2002, what's going to be in 2034, there's going to be a lot more competitions. Are there any major venues that we're going to have to develop or build in the next 10 years?
Well, that's a very interesting question because we have 42% more events than we had in 02. Incredible things like slopestyle and big air and things like that. We don't have to build any new permanent venues. We do have to build a big air facility, which is just a temporary scaffolding structure, which will be right downtown Salt Lake City, bringing sport to the people. But we don't have to build any new permanent venues. We'll just utilize them at a much higher level than we did in 02.
Fraser, just real quickly, step back in time for people who are eyeball rolling at the idea of bringing another Olympic Games to Utah. Didn't ticket sales and sponsorships end up covering the costs? And remind us of how that worked.
Yes, this is all privately funded. We don't require any state or local money at all. It's the primary sources are broadcast revenue, sponsorships, and ticketing revenue. So we have a unique model here in Utah where we can support that on our own.
Well, best of luck. It's going to be a wild few days for you, I know. Fraser Bullock, thank you so much for joining us, President and CEO of Salt Lake City, Utah, as we're bidding for the 2034 Olympics, which, we're basically the only team in town. We're the only guys that are really in the running right now. So it looks amazing right now. And it sounds like so far things are going great.
So I'm looking at the schedule for today at 4:15 this afternoon. They're scheduled to arrive at the Delta Center. That is smack dab in the middle of Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news. So he'll bring you coverage of that as well. They're going to be checking out the Delta Center, of course, figure skating. If my memory serves, was held at the Delta Center in 2002. And, you know, there could be a lot of changes between now and 2034. For example, if we build a Major League Baseball stadium on the west side, if we build a brand new jazz arena slash what could be now an NHL stadium, an arena presumably what the a new home of the former Arizona Coyotes. That's not an official announcement yet, but that's just me anticipating that they're going to pull the plug on their home at Mullet Arena at Arizona State University that seats two people. No, it seats 45 people. Sorry, I misread that. It's a very small facility. That team's really kind of been pushed around with no real home down there. So we're reporting this morning that they've been creating a second alternative draft of the schedule for the NHL for 2024-25 season, and Salt Lake City is on it. So we could see a lot of changes. That's my whole point. So there could be other venues or other options to hold events.
Well, and this kind of stuff will happen over the next decade, but it's going to be much faster than the next decade. We're not going to see 10 years to get an NHL stadium being built. It's just won't take that long. Yeah. We're talking about a few years.
Former KSL5 television Olympic reporter Shelley Osterloh on standby. I want to ask her to weigh in on what she feels like the International Olympic Committee will be looking for while they're touring Salt Lake City, Park City, and beyond over the next few days.